From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 5th day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the premier of China says a clear plan must be developed to solve Europe's debt crisis. The candidates running in Illinois' 13th district have squared off on issues related to the farm bill, and Informa has released its estimate of this week's USDA WASDE report. Dave Dickey will have all the details a bit later in the program, and then I'll tell you how Daryl Good is thinking about the price of soybeans. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. The December soft red winter wheat to settlement price at $8.66, up a penny and a half. July, down one at $8.74 on its settlement price. The hard red in Kansas City at $9.22¾, the settlement price there, up 4 cents for the day. From the corn pit, these are closes and not settlement prices. December futures, $7.34¾ in Chicago, down 4¾. The March at the CME Group at $7.37, 5½ lower. In May corn at $7.36¼, down 3¼. July, $7.25, down 5¾ cents. And December futures of next year, 4 cents lower at $6.32½. November beans, and these are settlement prices, $15.04¼, down 22¾. January settled $15.03¼, down 23½. And the March beans at $14.82½, down 21¼. May futures at $14.56½, down 14¾. July beans today at $14.40½, down 13½. And November beans of next year, a settlement price at $13.34¼, finished down 2¼. Bean meal was down $6.90. Bean oil 94 cents lower. Live cattle finished the February contract at 129, down 17½ cents. January feeders at 146.77½, or up a dime. And February lean hogs at $82.95 for the day, down 95 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon. January contract, $86.28 a barrel, up 88 cents. January ethanol at 260 and 4 tenths. That's 4 and 7 tenths lower. And the ethanol for the day at 231, down 3 cents on the afternoon. Natural gas at 356 and a tenth, just about 7 tenths of a cent higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 4 cents at $2.98 and 8 tenths. And the gold futures on the day, $8 higher at $1,683.20. That's a settlement price. The U.S. dollar at 80.75 is up 0.16. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, mostly cloudy, a high near 47 degrees on an east-northeast wind at about 6 to 8 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy this evening at a low of 30 on an east-northeast wind at about 5 miles an hour. It'll become calm, and then rain will come likely tomorrow, that before the noon hour. Increasing clouds, a high near 49 degrees for the day. Light and variable winds becoming out of the southwest at 8 to 13 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation tomorrow during the day at 60%. Tomorrow night, cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 34, but that southwest wind at around 6 miles an hour before midnight. And then on Wednesday, that southwest wind will bring in mostly sunny skies, a bit warmer, a high of 49 Wednesday night, 32 degrees on the low, sunny and 53 on Thursday, and Thursday evening, a 37-degree low and mostly clear. Friday, sunny skies and 59. Friday night, partly cloudy and 47. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 64. It should be breezy on Saturday. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy and 51. And on Veterans Day, that's Monday of next week, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a high near 64 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of November. On the phone line with us to take a look at futures markets is Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's take up the commodity markets. It's kind of an ugly day for the soybeans. What happened?
We ran into some long liquidation volume. Somewhat on the light side, but for the most part, open interest is going to go a little bit lower. Also, spread activity. I think the beans are on the short end of the spread. And, you know, wheat's been the beneficiary here. And corn, secondly, beans just seem to want to be heavy and struggle. Fundamentally, we're looking at huge export inspections. We're shipping out what we sold. We're seeing light sales, but not the heavy sales to generate some bullish buying enthusiasm. Then also, too, we've seen a little bit of a better weather forecast for the southern hemisphere, a little better moisture for the drier areas. And those wet areas are supposedly going to receive a little less rain, a chance for them to dry out. But I think it's a matter of sort of testing this $15 level and see if that holds here tonight or first thing in the morning there, Todd.
On Friday of this week, USDA will release its latest stab at crop production figures and the WASDE numbers. What you watching for there?
Well, probably a whole lot of nothing. You know, everybody look at me, listen to me and all this, but when it's all said and done, the ending stocks, we feel, are going to remain relatively tight, you know, reflecting pipeline supplies. The ideas are the bean production could go up a little. Bean carryout could probably go up a little. There's ideas corn carryout could go up slightly from the fact that you know, these exports just aren't real positive on corn. So we could see some slightly higher numbers. I think the Dow Jones average has the average corn carry out about 635 versus about 619 last month. Bean carry out 133 versus 130 last month. Even a little higher wheat number. In order to get a big shocker there, we feel corn, you know, carry out needs to move 100 million bushels, or beans, you know, 10 to 15 million bushels. That could get the trade's attention somewhat. But I guess more juggling the numbers around, probably. The more important numbers to watch would be the world numbers and see how we are going to handle this world wheat number and even the southern hemisphere wheat and, well, wheat, corn, and bean production out of the southern hemisphere, Todd.
Turn your attention to the new crop, both corn and soybeans. Are you of a mind that producers should be considering new crop sales for corn, and then we can take up beans on that same topic?
Well, we feel so. At least a good majority of the producers we talk to are really penciling in the numbers for this 2013 crop, and you know, $6 plus corn will cash flow. Ideas are if we can get closer to 6.5 on the D13, that's a little bit more attractive, of course. But you know, between now and when crop insurance starts a cycle again in February is a long ways away. So guys are wanting to be a little bit more aggressive here and get a little hedge protection on because that does pencil out. As far as the beans go, yeah, they'd like to get a little closer to $13. We're down, I mean $14. We're in the low 13s here. If we can get up towards 14, a little bit more attractive. A lot of wheat here in the east, you know, especially on south of here, guys are wanting to put a lot of wheat in, try to come back with some double crop beans. So we feel bean acres are going to be huge, and that there's some probably a little bit more downside price risk in the beans. as long as the weather cooperates here this next growing season.
Anything to add on livestock before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, we're seeing a little bit of zigging and zagging here. We're going to be watching these inventory and on feed and hogs and pigs numbers here as we go into this winter here. It's going to be real critical for the beef producer, poultry producer, hog producer, all these livestock guys to stay profitable and in the game here to avoid sharply higher prices as we move into 2013-14, Todd.
Thank you so much.
Great.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can listen to Kurt again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And Commodity Week, of course. That's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. It's there for you to listen to 24/7 anytime you choose at willag.org or on your mobile phone at m.willag.org. And if you don't have access to the net or one of our radio stations, you can always just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal and update it at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day with some of the numbers and a bit of analysis. It's all part of the services of WILL Agriculture.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Agricultural News.
In Agricultural News, China's premier told a summit of Asian and European leaders today that major economic institutions need a clear and reliable plan to solve Europe's sovereign debt crisis. Europe's debt crisis is expected to dominate this year's meeting, which brings together leaders or top ministers from almost 50 countries from the two continents. It is seeking ways to strengthen trade and cooperation between the two blocs. With Europe's economy as a whole in poor health, and with chronic and serious problems such as Greece and Spain, European leaders are hoping that the strong Asian economies can come to their aid. The candidates running in Illinois' new 13th congressional district squared off last week on agricultural issues. Whoever wins a race would likely be responsible on voting to reauthorize the Farm Bill, which expired at the end of September. Sean Powers reports.
Republican Rodney Davis of Taylorville says Congress should have passed a Farm Bill by now.
The failure to pass a comprehensive Farm Bill that provided a strengthened crop insurance program was a dereliction of duty of Republicans and Democrats.
Setting a cap on crop insurance is something Davis says lawmakers should consider. Democrat David Gill of Bloomington says he would be open to setting such a limit.
There might be some upper limit with regards to some of the larger agribusiness concerns, but I would aim for a relatively high number when it comes to that.
Independent candidate John Hartman of Edwardsville says to tackle the federal budget deficit, many programs need to be scaled back, including things in the Farm Bill like crop insurance and food stamps.
It'll be a lot easier to convince the Defense Department that they're going to have to take some cuts if they know that we're making cuts in food stamps, even if they're only symbolic cuts.
During their final debate, the candidates also answered questions about gasoline prices, student loans, and the federal health care law. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
Private analytical firm Informa Economics says that it expects USDA to raise its forecasts for this year's corn and soybean crops. Informa says it expects USDA to forecast a national corn yield of 122.4 bushels to the acre, with total production of 10.738 billion bushels. Informa says it expects USDA to forecast national soybean production of 2.925 billion bushels, with a yield of 38.6 bushels to the acre. USDA will update its crop production and WASDE numbers on this Friday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find on our websites at willag.org or your mobile site at m.willag.org. Hey, up next, commodity traders, as summer turned to fall, believed a tight supply of soybeans caused by consecutive droughts in South and North America would lead to much higher prices. That simply not happened. I'll have more on what might push the price of the oil seed higher or lower. Soybean prices reached a peak early in September, with November 2012 futures trading to $17.89 a bushel. Now, the price of that contract declined to about $15.50 by the end of the month, that's September, and has been in a 90-cent trading range since then, $14.86 to $15.74 at the time of this writing. The generally sideways pattern for soybean prices over the past month then reflects conflicting fundamental factors, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. The most supportive factor has clearly been the very strong export pace, he thinks. USDA forecasts soybean exports at 1.265 billion bushels for the year. To date, about 9 weeks into the marketing year, shipped and unshipped soybean exports tally just over a billion bushels. And that doesn't leave much to be booked over the next 10 months. Domestic crush of soybeans has been on a fast pace, too. It means something has to change, says Daryl Good.
Based on the October production forecast, the current pace of consumption of U.S. soybeans clearly cannot be maintained. Prices, however, have not increased in an attempt to slow the pace of consumption for at least two reasons. First, the market anticipates that the U.S. harvest was actually larger than the October forecast. If so, a higher rate of consumption can be supported. Second, the market anticipates a rebound in South American soybean production in 2013 that will provide ample supplies to support the increased pace of world consumption and to provide exports of soybeans and soybean products to the U.S. if needed. The larger production expectation is reflected by the lower price of soybean futures for the last half of the 2012 marketing year.
Beyond the current marketing year, the soybean market also anticipates a rebound in U.S. production in 2013. If acreage is maintained at the 2012 level and the U.S. average yield rebounds to trend values of about 43.8 bushels to the acre, the 2013 crop will be near 3.34 billion bushels. That's 478 million bushels larger than the current forecast of the 2012 crop. This expectation is reflected by the much lower futures price of the 2013-14 marketing year. Still, Daryl Good says it should be noted that new crop soybean prices today are higher than the average prices received for the 2010 and 2011 seasons.
That is, there is some production risk reflected in the current price structure, so that if current expectations actually materialize, even lower prices should be expected.
Well, the immediate focus then is on South American weather and production prospects there. For the month of October, much of the center and western portions of the production area in Brazil received less than average precip, while much of Argentina was extremely wet. With current unsettled weather conditions and large crops needed in both South America and the United States in 2013, the soybean market may be understating production risk. If so, modestly higher prices for the 2013 crop would be expected. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. A couple of things to remind you of. It is the winter meeting season, and several VI meetings will be set to kick off. The first one is the Ag Masters program. That's this month on a couple of days, the 26th of November, and then the following month in December. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits are in that second full week of December. And then, of course, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. You can find links to all three of those on our Will Ag website, although you'll have to cut and paste them because they're not hot links. They're in our schedule. Just look in the calendar there, and you can find them. Or you can visit for the FarmDoc website for the Farm Economic Summits one, Summit Series. It's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Or you can do this one for the Crop Sciences, the Corn and Soybean Classic Series, and the Ag Masters program. That one is CropSci Conferences, all one word, CropSciConferences.com. So those are three events you might want to look forward to scheduling for this winter meeting season. Now let's take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market. And Amy Murray is on the phone line. She's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers been calling in much today?
Oh, the usual, you know, kind of seeing how progress is going and, you know, what's going on with the market. But we're not seeing a ton of farmers selling today.
I didn't figure that would be the case. What's the new trigger part, do you think? Where will they make a sale?
You know, I think it's going to have to come in a couple months here. With us being so stagnant, you know, it's just a little bit here and there, a dab of cash grain. I think we're going to have to see significant movement either up or down to really trigger sales. And by significant, I think we need to break past that 750, 760 mark in Dease corn to the upside. And I think we're going to have to, you know, get below 710 to really trigger some panic selling.
Your expectations that that will happen anytime soon, or in your mind, are we just in a sideways marketplace?
I think we're in a sideways marketplace. I think we'll probably see some volatility, you know, tomorrow and post the election, depending on how results turn out here. But also with the USDA report out on Friday, you know, that usually will send us more volatility. But as far as breaking through this range here, I think that that's going to have to come once we get a better evaluation of what this crop produced, both corn and soybeans, which I think will come later on this winter when we can get some true evaluations.
Corn has been out of place for end users for the most part, given what the crop has looked like here in our part of the world, central Illinois. How has it impacted flow of corn from the Andersons?
Really, we haven't done a whole lot exciting here. We've sold trains, obviously, this fall, but with the rail market staying fairly stagnant here, I think, again, we're going to have to see what the current situation is supply-demand-wise, just like we're going to see in the futures market, and I think that spike is going to have to come a little bit later.
Do you have bids for new crop corn and soybeans?
We do. We're posted at 25 under the Dease for new crop, which puts us at 606 on corn. And on beans, we're 25 under the NOV 13, 1309 cash.
And your old crop bids are what?
Old crop, we are at 12 over the Dease at 747 for cash corn. Cash beans are at 10 under the January at 1493.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Murray is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're looking down from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's Donut Day. The arrival of donuts in the U.S. has a disputed history. One theory has Hanson Gregory inventing the ring-shaped donut in 1847 while traveling aboard a lime trading ship. Another theory points at archaeological evidence that donuts were prepared by prehistoric Native Americans in the Southwest. On this day in agricultural history in 1854, Paul Sabatier was born. A French organic chemist, he researched catalytic organic synthesis. The margarine and methanol industries grew out of his research. In 1893, Raymond Loewy was born, an American design engineer. He designed the Coca-Cola bottle, the 1934 Sears Cold Spot refrigerator, and toothbrushes, among other items. But he is perhaps best known as the father of streamlining for his work on a number of automobiles, including the 1947 Studebaker Starlight Coupe. In 1963, Viking ruins were found by archaeologists in Newfoundland, dating back to around the year 1000. Most historians believe that Leif Erikson, second son of Eric the Red, was the first European to reach the New World, some 500 years before Columbus. And in 2000, David Ross Brower died. Brower was the founder of many agricultural organizations, including the Friends of the Earth and Earth Island Institute. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, it's the first Monday in November. On the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast is Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with Election Day across the nation. Who will have good weather and who will have bad weather to contend with? Anybody?
Well, I guess it depends on your perspective of bad weather. If that the definition of that is precipitation, the main areas here that will see precipitation on Election Day will be primarily the southeastern part of the country and the far northwest area. So cities such as Seattle, even down into Florida, Georgia, that part of the country. Here in the Midwest, be a little bit of precip. Some of it actually might be in the form of snow flurries in areas of far sections of northern Illinois and then on into Wisconsin. Nothing of accumulating is really expected, but that's where the precip will be tomorrow. And along with that, and why some of the precip is snow is because of the colder than normal temperatures that moved in over the past week or so, and that look to continue over the next several days.
And then will they abate, at least for us in our part of the world, by the end of the week?
It does look that way, Todd, as temperatures look to quickly rebound and will be actually at above normal levels here starting on Friday, continuing into Saturday. And then Sunday, unfortunately, begins to go downhill in sections of the far western Midwest as another storm system begins to approach into the Midwest. And so, those warmer than normal temperatures still look to prevail at that time. So kind of roller coaster ride in temperatures here coming up. Again, not that uncommon here for November, but certainly on the extremes here, we're going through some of these extremes in short periods of time.
The growing regions in South America have been tallied into the haves and have-nots in terms of precipitation. How are they making their way through this growing season today?
Well, it's been a very average start to the growing season, and the areas that have faced wetness issues include Argentina, far southern Brazil. The areas that have faced dryness issues is central and northern Brazil. Now, as we've turned the page to November, that is in the process of changing and improving as the pattern here has switched and is now promoting drier conditions in Argentina and far southern Brazil and wetter conditions in central and northern Brazil. And that looks to stay a hold here over the next couple of weeks, Todd. So we see an improving situation following those issues that did evolve during the month of October.
Any place else on the planet that we should check in on before I let you go?
Well, we're seeing also colder weather in parts of Europe as well as in China. In fact, Beijing, China received snow here over the weekend, very early in the year for them to receive snow. And certainly seeing cold air flowage here into the mid-latitude, not only here in the U.S., but in other areas of the world as well.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report for a Monday afternoon. That wraps it up. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.